I'm Brian Ellison. The Kansas City Royals, they lost last night to the Minnesota Twins in extra innings. The Detroit Tigers edged the Yankees, and that means the Royals have just a 1.5 game lead now in the American League Central Division. Probably already knew that because we're in a pennant race. That's right, the boys in blue may be headed to the postseason for the first time in a generation. We know what they need to do on the field to get there, but what has to happen inside their heads? How is the psychology of winning and losing, of every swing of the bat, different when there's so much on the line? Later this morning, we'll hear about an upcoming gathering of writers and poets who produce work from their experience as recovering addicts. But first this morning, the psychology of a pennant race. Joining us are Dr. Andrew Jacobs. He's a sports psychologist who has worked with Olympic and professional athletes, including formerly serving as the team psychologist for the Royals. Now he's sports psychologist here at UMKC. Dr. Jacobs, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And also joining us is Toby Cook. He's the vice president of community affairs and publicity for the Kansas City Royals. He joins us right here as well this morning. Good morning, Toby.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Glad to see you. Let's start with you, actually. What's it been like to be around the team at such an exciting time?
You know, funny thing, I was just thinking about the 2012 All-Star experience, and one of the last times I was in this studio staring at Steve Kroenke was right in the middle of the All-Star game, and then you all come out and do a live broadcast from our Diamond Club on opening day.
We appreciate your help with that, by the way.
It feels a little like the All-Star game and opening day, where you could identify just something different about the city following their baseball team right now. And it's in the middle of the season, and that kind of gives you an indication about how it's been.
You know, partly those things happen once a year for opening day, All-Star game once in a lifetime probably, but this is happening every night now.
It is, and I think the significance is that we haven't been to the playoffs in 29 years.
Right.
We won the World Series in 1985. They had good teams in the late 80s. And then some good teams in the 90s. We had one season that was wiped out by a labor strike,
right.
1994, and that was probably the best team that we had had. But 20 years later, the team has a legitimate shot at getting into the playoffs. And my personal take is that the rest of Major League Baseball, maybe even the rest of professional sports, kind of pulling for us because it's time for us to get that monkey off our back.
Certainly the fans seem to be pulling for you. You know, I think about that opening day show you mentioned when we were out there back in April, and we met that day a bunch of folks who work for the team in sort of what I guess you'd say are low-profile roles. Mm-hmm. We met with the team seamstress. Mm-hmm. We met with the guy who plays the music as players are walking up to bat. I guess I wonder, is, you know, their job is the same theoretically, whether the team's winning or losing. Does it feel the same?
It doesn't feel the same because there's something about the energy level at Kauffman Stadium that just raises everybody's energy level. You really do have to kind of settle into, well, we're going to win some games, we're going to lose some games, we're going to have 13,000 people out at the ballpark, we're going to have 38,000, and you just kind of live with whatever the rhythm of the season is. But I don't know that I've experienced in my 8 years with the Royals this intensity on the fans, starting in the parking lot when they tailgate, coming into the ball game, and we're trailing 2-1 in, say, the second inning, and a Let's Go Royals chant starts, which is funny because you'll notice if you hear that throughout the ballpark, Let's Go Royals, pretty soon you'll hear the organist taking the cue from the fans, dun, 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 and then everybody starts doing it. And it's just a very different thing that lifts up the grounds crew and all the people that are working out
instead
there.
Instead of the organist having to get something started in a quiet stadium.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun to be able to react to what the fans are already doing than, hey guys, let's have a little help here. Let's cheer for the guys.
Well, and I guess I want to ask you about this, and I'm almost sorry to have to ask, but it's been in the news this week. There was quite a kerfuffle after manager Ned Yost made some comments about the fans at, I believe that was Monday night's game. He said, you know, 13,000 people got to see a great game. We're in a pennant race. We've been working on trying to build this team for the last 3 or 4 years. And then he went on to say, you know, I've lost the end of the quote, but he said, you know, where are the fans? There were 30,000 there the night before for Derek Jeter night. What do you make of that?
I felt a little torn on both sides. I was a television reporter for 15 years, and I spent a little time in radio, and now I've spent the last 8 years on the other side and working with a lot of media, not specifically with the baseball stuff. So I don't sit there when Ned Yost is doing interviews before or after the game. Sometimes it bleeds over a little bit. And I played that all out in my mind because I heard the comments as I was driving home. And the reference to the 13,000, it seemed to me at that moment was just a matter of fact, we had a lot of people who got to enjoy this moment because he was asked, was this a bigger moment than anything else? And I think he was kind of trying to temper that based on the fact that we play 162 games where, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a big moment, but we have a lot of big moments and people enjoyed it. The reporters that were there, and I love and respect the people that cover the Royals on a daily basis, I think that they were heightened. Their interest was heightened by the fact that he specifically said something about the numbers. Then they asked a follow-up. Then he went ahead and talked about it. Sometimes it's a little bit of a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing because they get on to Ned a little bit about not expounding on things.
Right.
And, you know, it turned into, oh, I know he didn't mean this. By tomorrow morning, he's going to say, I didn't mean it the way that it came off, and that's kind of how it all played out. We had about 17,000 the next two nights, and we're literally looking at the potential for a sellout this Sunday night. It's a nationally televised game against the Cleveland Indians with huge crowds on Friday and Saturday. I think Ned was thinking it. Other people then said it afterwards. These crowds are going to come back soon enough. Some people do have to do the whole school and work-related things
sure.
the next day.
Sure, and I think part of his point was they missed a great game Monday night yep. when the Royals had a walk-off home run there from Alex Gordon. Let me ask you, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, you're a sports psychologist. You've worked with the Royals. You work with lots of other athletes. I wanted to get your take on last night's game, if I can. So last night, the Twins scored twice in the first inning. The Royals tied it in the first. They scored two more in the fourth inning. The Twins did. The Royals tied it in the fifth. The Twins scored in the sixth. The Royals tied it in the seventh. They play this great game. It goes for 3 hours, and then they get to the 10th inning. And the Twins blew it open, 1-6. What's a game like that do to a team, especially a team that's already stretched pretty emotionally thin in the heat of a pennant race?
Well, you know, I think you have to look at this from this perspective. First of all, there are 162 games, and these guys understand that. There's the adage, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. They understand that. It's one game. And I think the way the team's been playing, you know, over the last month, has shown them, well, we're going to lose some games. I mean, the fact of the matter is, in sports, you have to learn how to deal with failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a situation last night where it didn't work out in the end. But I think, you know, the way the mentality, I think, of this team is going right now, it's like, all right, that's the way it happened yesterday. We're in it till the end. Let's get ready for tomorrow and let's go from there. I think the mentality of the one game at a time approach is the way you have to look at this. And I think these players, and I know several of them, not all of them, but I know several of them, and I know their mindsets are really focused on that because that's what allows you to succeed. If you make it to the professional level, especially in baseball, you've gone through the minor leagues, you've had to deal with the failures, you've had to deal with overcoming injuries, you've had to deal with a lot of these different things. You understand when you get to this level and you stick around, like somebody like Alex Gordon, who I have the utmost respect for. I mean, he went through a serious injury with his hip. He changed positions. He went from third base to the outfield. He got demoted to the minor leagues. Alex understands what it's about. He's a gold glove outfielder. He's an all-star. He has become a tremendous left fielder, maybe one of the best in baseball. And I think it's because of his mentality of, one, you know, you watch him play. You don't see – he gets excited when, you know, he hit that game-winning home run the
mm-hmm,
other night.
Mm-hmm.
And last night when he hit a home run, you could see he's fired up. But Alex is the same. Win or lose, success or failure is the same because that's the way you have to look at this. That's what allows you to succeed in professional baseball.
I guess I wonder, I mean, you worked with the Royals during some pretty thin years in terms of their winning record. What's different? You talk about the mentality or the mindset of a winning team. Do you notice a difference? How is each individual player going to think differently and process things
differently? I think there's, you know, winning, you know, the old adage, winning is contagious. And losing is too, obviously. And so I think when you look at this, this team has a belief right now. I always like to talk about this question. Do you have to be confident to be successful or do you have to be successful to be confident? And I think if you're a confident person, it isn't going to matter if you win or lose, or you succeed or fail. You're going to know you can do it the next time. And I think there's a strong level of self-confidence with these players. They've overcome a lot of adversity, a lot of them through the years here or through their situations, and they've come together. There's a real, real strong team atmosphere here, and I think that's going to lead to the possible, you know, possible playoff run, and we'll see where it can go.
You know, something you said, Andy, made me think of a scene in the movie The Natural, where they bring the team's not doing well. They bring in let's listen to a little of the clip.
Losing is a disease as contagious as bubonic plague, attacking one but infecting all. Ah, but curable.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
I imagine you have, not to be flip about it, but what is the cure? How does a team turn it around, whether this is what the Royals did or what you'd advise any other team in that situation?
Well, when you're not playing well, you need to look at why you're not playing well. What did I do when I was playing well? When things were successful, what was going on? What's going on now? How do I change it? But one of the key words I focus with people on is, or two words, is balance and consistency. How can I be balanced? How can I be consistent? You can't get Toby knows this very well, having been around the Royals for so long. You can't get too high and you can't get too low. You've got to be as even as you can. And you know, if you strike out, well, I've got to be ready for the next at bat. If you make an error, Alcides Escobar made an error last night. Rarely makes one. He made one. Next play he had, flipped to second, got the inning. Inning was over. All right, you've got to focus on the next play. If your mind, I always like to tell athletes, you got to look out the front windshield, not the rearview mirror, because you got to keep looking ahead. If you keep looking behind, you're going to be stuck on that. If you struck out the last time and you're thinking about striking out, that's where your mindset's going to be. There was a guy on the team a few years ago, one day at batting practice, says, "Doc, you got to talk to me." I said, "What's up?" He goes, "Look at the scoreboard. You know my stats right now. They're terrible." I'm not going to use the words he used. He said, "They're pretty bad." I said, "Yeah, well, you're not playing as well as you can." He goes, "Yeah, and every time I come up to plate, I look at those stats." I go, "Let me ask you a question. Why are you looking at the scoreboard, not the pitcher?" And he looked at me, got a big grin on his face. He goes, "You know, you're right. I'm focusing on what I'm not doing right instead of what I have to do." Well, that night he actually went 2 for 4. He came up to me after the game and said, "Thanks, that really made a difference. I've got to get my focus back where it needs to be."
It's Dr. Andrew Jacobs. He's a sports psychologist, has worked with the Royals, works with some of them individually. He's the sports psychologist here at UMKC now, also has a radio program. We're also joined by Toby Cook, the Vice President of Community Affairs for the Royals here on Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison. Toby, you work in community affairs. Take us out into the potential postseason that we all hope is happening. How does the engagement with the community that you spend your time on year in and year out change as the team's fortunes are changing?
It's a great question, because we do community relations whether the team is bad, whether the team is doing well. We had an event out south yesterday with Jeremy Guthrie, one of our pitchers, and of course all four television stations came, and there was a lot of attention around it. We would do something like that, and we might get a little bit of attention. Something about the team doing well kind of elevates everything else that the club is doing, mindful that we would do this anyway, whether we weren't going to get any attention or not.
Right.
With the postseason possibilities, Major League Baseball strongly requests / requires Major League teams to do community events. The difficulty in all of it is that when we hosted the 2012 All-Star Game, we knew 2 years ahead of time what those 10 days leading up to it were going to be, and we planned it all out meticulously. We might find out the night before that we need to quick get a rally together for the fans. So it's all in concept, and then somehow we got to whip something together knowing that we're going to have a plan even though it may or may not happen.
Well, and all the while with a sport where they play every single day, as opposed to, you know, it's not once a week like football. You can't just pull the players off to go do something. They've got a game.
Yeah, and there's a possibility, for instance, that we could clinch a postseason spot on the road over the weekend and open up in another town 2 days later. The team may not fly back into town. That would be a situation where we were to win a wild card spot. Mm-hmm. So they've got 5 teams in each league, American and National, that get to go to the postseason, and 2 of those 5 in each will be wild card teams. That's a 1-game playoff between the wild card teams, and right now, if you're following baseball, it's probably going to be a California team that is going to be hosting, and Kansas City would have to make a lot of moves in the next few weeks in order to be the number one wild card and host a game. Our best bet is that we win the division and then get to host baseball here in Kansas City if we end up playing. So there's a lot of moving parts at this point.
Let's invite our listeners to ask any questions they have. We've got Toby Cook of the Kansas City Royals front office. We've got Dr. Andrew Jacobs, sports psychologist. What do you want to know about the pennant race, about the psychology of winning and losing, about how these Royals are doing this season? Give us a call at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us. We're at updatedate@kcur.org. You know, we're talking about this playing every day. I wonder how the psychology of baseball, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, is maybe different than with some other sports. There's a game every day, but also the pace of the game is very different, right?
Well, I think, you know, when you make it to the major leagues, you've been playing baseball for a long time. So it's sort of part of your system. It's become ingrained in what you do. When you go through, and I've got kids that I work with who are starting at 6, 7, 8 years of age, who are starting to play sometimes 20, 30 games a summer. I had a young man in my office last year at 10 who played 100 games, which was ridiculous. And we talked about that. But by the time these guys make it to the major leagues, they've survived all this stuff. They've survived, you know, road trips and bad games and good games. And so they have a mindset. They know what it takes to survive because they've made it up here. But then it's a matter of, you know, you're the best of everybody and you're playing with the best of everybody. So the focus has to become individualized. You really have to have a game plan. You have to have a mental preparation routine. You have to have – I always like to talk about preparation, focus, attitude, and confidence as the four keys to success. You've got to have a preparation routine to get yourself prepared. You've got to have the right focus every day, and you have to know what to do when you succeed or fail. You've got to have a good attitude. What I talk about is a positive, realistic attitude. If you've got a negative attitude, you won't survive. I'm sure Toby knows that with the players that have not made it over the years. Like Alex Gordon, we just mentioned. I mean, Alex learned about failure, unfortunately, in front of everybody at third base and then getting injured. Now look what he's turned a negative situation into a positive. Like I said, I respect him immensely for what he's done. And then it's the confidence issue. You've got to have that belief that you can do it. And when you get to this level, there's going to be another game the next day. So you just have to take one step. You know, it's one step at a time. There was an all-star closer I worked with for years. And I had him right on the bill of his cap. One game at a time, one inning at a time, one at bat at a time, one pitch at a time. Keep it simple. And that was the way we tried to approach it, and consequently he did quite well.
You know, you mentioned this pregame routine, the preparations that the players make. I guess I'm curious, you probably see all sorts of routines, all sorts of superstitions that players live into. What are some of the ways that you've seen players? I mean, there's some that we heard about. I'm thinking of my own childhood now, but you know, Kirby Puckett always had fried chicken before the game. What are some of the superstitions that that you've encountered as a sports psychologist?
Well, a lot of guys have to get dressed a certain way. They've got to put their they have to lay their clothes out a certain way. They have to have their tape in certain places. Their glove has to be the same place. Their shoes have to be the same place. And if they're not, they have to start over again. I've talked with a lot of guys. You look guys in the batter's box. It's sort of the same routine. They come out and adjust their gloves, adjust their helmet, you know, adjust their pants, whatever it might be. And so it gets to be almost superstitious for some people. I've got to do that. I'm not going to do well. And the fact of the matter is it's a comfort zone. It's getting yourself into a comfort zone. A lot of these guys have some very bizarre things that they do. But it's what they feel they have to do to get comfortable out there playing.
Let's take a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Greg in Waldo is with us. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. I'm curious as to the mentality of players. I understand what Ned Yost was saying about fans not showing up. And I'm wondering if that affects players. You know, they're in a pennant race, they're playing great baseball, and yet they get, you know, a third of the crowd that the Chiefs might get on a meaningless, you know, preseason game. Does that affect players as far as when they look out into the stands and see a bunch of empty seats?
Well, that's a great question, Greg. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, does it matter? 17,000 is a good crowd like last night, but that still means there's 23,000 empty seats.
I don't know if I've ever specifically had the conversation with a player about this, so I'm kind of relating it to the way that I have survived some pretty thin seasons in the front office. My mindset has always been a great crowd would be great. We still want to win this ball game anyway, whoever is in the stadium. So for me, it has been I'm going to focus on all of the positive things that are going on at Kauffman Stadium, and if they lose, we're on to the next game. I try very hard to not let the negative stuff weigh on me. My guess is that with that 162-game survival that they have to go through, that players have decided that, you know what, there are 13,000 people here. There are less than that. I got to go out and I got to win anyway. I got to go out and I have to be successful. But I don't think it's without question that a large crowd adds an energy level that has they've all kind of helped each other, where the large crowd has helped the energy level on the field. They've played better, and that created the energy level in the crowd. It is absolutely helpful, but you can't let it stop you from being successful, even if you've got two people in the stadium.
Yeah, right. I wonder, is that just one of the many distractions that you just have to get out of your head when you're playing?
It's an issue in a way, but then it's not. I know for most players, the excitement can be contagious, but they really block it out. Because when you're at the plate, everybody's yelling, "Let's go Royals," and the cheering is going on. If you're focusing on that, you're not concentrating on the pitch. And I remember there's this all-star closer that I spent a lot of time with. He pitched the game in Yankee Stadium for an opposing team, came in the bottom of the ninth inning and struck out the side. After the game, he called me up, said, "Doc, and the game was on TV. I happened to see it." He said, "Did you watch that game?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "They said it was as loud as it's ever been here." He goes, "I didn't hear a thing. There was just like this buzz in the background." And because he said, "All I saw was the catcher's glove," and he said, "It was the size of a watermelon." He goes, "That's all I saw." And so I think when you're really in the zone, you're not paying attention to all that. Yes, if the crowd's excited, it feeds, there's an excitement. But when Billy Butler comes up to bat, he's got to focus on the pitcher, not on everybody cheering. And when the pitcher's pitching, he's got to focus on the catcher's glove, not on everybody booing. It's got to be that ability to block that out.
We're talking about the psychology of the Royal season and a pennant race. 816-235-2888 is the number. Lisa is calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. So I'm super excited about how great we're doing this season and enjoying watching all the games. And I was wondering if there's any talk between the city or Parks and Rec and the team on bringing the game more to the fans and to the city, like bringing back the bus route that used to go to the stadium, or set up watch parties or things of that nature to really get everybody else involved.
Good question for the Vice President of Community Affairs and Publicity, Toby Cook. Toby? Yeah,
the two examples that she mentioned were watch parties and bus access to Kauffman Stadium. We were kind of at the mercy of a situation with the reception a few years ago where a bus route had been eliminated out to the ballpark. I'm not saying that people don't know this in town, but we're not the mass transit city that a lot of markets are.
And some conversation about that recently, yes.
But there has been talk with the teams about better ways that we can make this happen, and I would love to see it. I would love to see a situation where, because of what has happened with the Royals this year, that we can start to work with the city to make that happen. We do have watch parties at the Kansas City Power and Light. I think that those things are going to have to happen organically. You know, more often than not, when the team tries to do something like that, we get an okay crowd. When it's starting to form based on other people saying, "We want to do this, come out and cheer on our Royals," it's sometimes more successful.
Lisa, will you be there if there's a watch party?
Oh, I would be there for a watch party, definitely.
All right, there's at least one customer for you. Lisa,
excellent.
Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Hey, let me ask you one more question, Andy Jacobs. You are you've worked with players on all sorts of different sports. How does your sense of how things are going in Kansas City right now compare to other sort of high stress or high excitement situations, the Olympics, or maybe a team getting to some other sports postseason?
Well, are you talking specifically about the athletes or about the community? What are you looking?
Well, let's talk about the athletes who you work with.
Well, I think, you know, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to work with the Olympic team, and I've been with teams at all kinds, world championships and national championships. And when you're in a community like this, where we have been starved for playoff appearance in such a long time, it does filter down to the athlete. I mean, the players know what's going on. They obviously know what's going on. I know when I was there with the team, they were aware. It was mentioned numerous times.
Right.
When we hadn't been in the playoffs so long. I remember Trey Hillman giving talks to the team about the fans and how passionate these people are and how they deserve a winner. And it is something that I think becomes part of what goes on. But in the end, an athlete who makes it to this level knows that it's about their focus and their confidence. And they've got to block out all this other stuff. I mean, everybody's feeling, I feel it, Toby feels it, you feel it. We all feel the excitement in this city. It is contagious. And everybody's getting in it. And I know my oldest son who lives with me, he's 24. He every night he can't wait to turn on, when he gets home from work, he wants to watch the game. And it's part of that. But I think from a player's perspective, it's about performance and focus. And they've got to concentrate on themselves. They've got to be a little bit selfish. The best athletes have always been a little bit selfish in the sense that they're focusing on what they have to do.
One last question. I want to give you the last word, Toby Cook. As you look to the last couple months of this season, what are you most excited about? What is the thing that if you were sitting at home watching, what should we be watching for?
I think you talking about on the field or at the stadium.
Overall, as part of the Royals in the community.
There is something that's going on right now that feels magical, and I wouldn't use that word except that a couple of other people have. Things that have happened this year seem magical. I think a lot of it has to do, again, with the fact that we haven't been there for 29 years, and this isn't a very elegant phrase, but a lot of fans kind of clenching their keister, are we going to do this? Are we going to pull it off? Are we going to make it happen? From a psychology standpoint, not being a psychologist, maybe we ought to all kind of adopt that notion, too, that just relax and go out and have fun. Just have fun through the process. We'll see what happens.
If I can add something to that, that's exactly right. The key thing is going out and having fun, and they're having fun right now.
And there's good psychological advice from our non-psychologist, Toby Cook, Vice President of Community Affairs and Publicity for the Kansas City Royals, and from a real psychologist, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, who is a sports psychologist, works at UMKC, and has worked with the Royals, too. Thank you both for being with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.